Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Returning to Jonah, getting ever closer to the end of our study of this wee book. We're at chapter 4. Jonah, chapter 4. We'll read from verse 1. Verse 1 of Jonah, chapter 4. You'll notice the chapter begins with a but. You know, boys and girls, every word is important. Every word is important. Now, you know how we use the word but. Sometimes maybe mum or dad has said to you, when they have given you some instructions, they have said, no buts. Because when you received the instructions, you said, I but. And you were objecting to what it was they were telling you, what they were wanting you to do. You were wanting to do something else. And so you reacted and responded to their instructions with, I would like to, I want to. Well, that's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. Jonah was of a different mind from the Lord regarding what had just happened in the great city of Nineveh. Let's read that. Verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. As I say, we're coming to the conclusion, or approaching the conclusion, of the study of Jonah, the inside story of a down and out. We're coming actually to the very heart of what the book of Jonah is all about. Here we find a lot of answers to what had happened earlier in the book. Jonah running away in chapter 1. What was he thinking of? Why did he do it? Well, we learn the answer to that in chapter 4. You know, when you're studying God's word, boys and girls, sometimes we come in our study to matters that puzzle us. And we say, I wonder why this is, or why this happened, or why he said that. And we have to read on, maybe a good while, before we get the answer. Just like in the book of Jonah. The questions arise in the chapter 1, but it's not until we come to the last chapter. Now, it's not a big book, but nevertheless, you have to wait until you get to the last chapter to find out why it was Jonah did what he did, as recorded in the chapter 1. Having just witnessed what I think I can rightly call the greatest display of God's mercy and God's grace amongst men, and having just had his preaching owned and blessed by God in a most wonderful manner, in a manner I believe that no other man ever had his preaching blessed by God, Jonah's angry. Jonah's displeased. He's most unhappy at what had happened. Now, we have got to say now, why was Jonah unhappy? I can't imagine Peter being unhappy on the evening of the day of Pentecost. I can imagine the apostles and their friends at supper that evening, and their faces are smiling, and they're happy, their talk is bright and cheerful, and they're saying one to another, did you ever imagine we would see a day like this? Hundreds and hundreds of people listened to us. Aye, and thousands of people got converted. What a day this is. When we think back to a short time ago, when we were looked on as the offscourings of the earth, when we were hiding and trembling and fearful, and we saw the Lord Jesus crucified, and we were just in the depths of despair, Who would ever then have thought so quickly we would see such a day as the day of Pentecost? That's how I'm sure the conversations were going in the evening time amongst Peter and his friends and those closely linked to him on the day of Pentecost. But how far removed is Jonah's reaction here at the end of an even greater display of God's power? He's angry. He's angry with God and in truth. He's despairing. And he even says, Lord, kill me. Take away my life. My life has come to the very depths. There's nothing more for me to live for. I just want to die. Isn't that hard to understand? You would think that Jonah had every reason to be filled with joy. But it's the very opposite. Very opposite. Everyone was pleased with how things had gone. The Ninevites were all pleased. That city was changed in a matter of days. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people were converted. The Lord was pleased. I had no doubt about that. The Lord looked down on what had happened at Nineveh and he was pleased. But here was Jonah and he was not pleased. He had a very different attitude altogether. Altogether. Now, boys and girls, though you might not just see it, there's a picture of you there, and there's a picture of me, because you see, boys and girls, we can get out of step with God, and we can see things very differently from God, and end up with an attitude very different indeed from God. Jonah saw the outcome of his preaching in Nineveh as a disaster. But God was pleased. The Bible says that the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now what were the angels not doing in heaven when hundreds of thousands of sinners repented in Nineveh? If one sinner's conversion made them happy and caused them to rejoice, what would not hundreds of thousands of conversions not have wrought amongst them? But here's Jonah, and he's in misery because of what God has done. That sets the context for this last chapter. Let me start out by saying, first of all, that we should notice something in Jonah's favor. Jonah wrote this book under the direction of God. He wrote this book, and he included in it this chapter and this picture of himself. And I think we should notice that. He included a record about himself that wasn't very flattering. The natural instincts of man, because Jonah would have learned how wrong he was to have the attitude that he did have. Now Jonah would have learned that. And when we realize, oh boy, I have been very wrong. I have got it completely back to front and I've made a fool of myself. When I'm writing up my story, I'll not mention that. That's what we would do. We'd sort of cover over that record of our foolishness, but not Jonah. He obeyed the Lord and he wrote down everything, including this portion that shows him up in a very bad light. I'm sure most of you here, older ones in particular, and the younger ones will hear about a man called Cromwell, Oliver Cromwell. Oh, you've got to go way back to the 1600s to find references to him. That's when he lived. And he had a tremendous influence upon the United Kingdom, on Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales. He was, in truth, a great man. Now, there are many people who hate his very name. But they hate his name for all the wrong reasons. The wise and those that understand something of the purpose and providences and mercies of God honour the name of Cromwell. And on one occasion, because he became the leader of the nation, on one occasion he was having his portrait painted and the artist was drawing him. Now, Mr. Cromwell had a big wart, maybe two, right there. And the artist said, sir, maybe you would turn the other side of your face and I'd paint it. And old Oliver Cromwell said, no, you'll paint me warts and all. And he used to be honoured for that. He didn't try to hide his blemishes. Just paint me as I am, he said. Well, that's what Jonah did. He paints a picture here of himself, warts and all. He tells us clearly about his feelings. Boys and girls, we need that honesty. We get things wrong, just like Jonah got them wrong. But when we get things wrong, we've got to own it before God and praise his name for his mercy in forgiving us. So let's honour Jonah for that fact and speak favourably of him. He didn't hide from all the world to see his errors and his folly in this matter. Here we are in Kilskerry, and it's 2,900, almost, years ago that Jonah lived. And we're reading about him, and about the foolish mistakes that he made. And we're doing that because he didn't hide it. And God would have us learn from the folly and the mistakes of Jonah. You know, that's why God puts these things in the Bible, that you might learn. That you might learn. Sometimes you see on the side of the road little signs telling drivers that there's potholes in the road. Watch out for them. Oh, there's a sharp bend coming. Watch out for it. And God does the same. And here in the story of Jonah, we have potholes that we are to avoid. We're to avoid them. That's why it's told. Then again, let's consider the attitude that Jonah displays here in these first three verses. I'm going to read them again for you. I want you to listen, and I want you to look at your Bible as we read it. Jonah, chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Notice the intensity here of the feelings of Jonah. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Oh, Jonah, you've got this upside down, back to front, inside out. You've got it as wrong as you could get it. Boys and girls, you need to learn. You can get things so wrong. Be convinced, yet be entirely wrong. And look for God to do things to you that would be entirely wrong. The attitude of Jonah is displayed here. First of all, notice that Jonah was displeased. His displeasure was deeply, deeply felt. You can't imagine how unhappy Jonah was. He was greatly displeased. And he was displeased with God. It was what God had done in Nineveh when he converted all those hundreds of thousands of people. That's what displeased Jonah. Now, it's not the first time that a true believer, and Jonah was a true believer, but it's not the first time that a true believer gets so mixed up that he feels God has done wrong. God has got this thing wrong, and I'm displeased with him. You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, there was a wonderful day planned by David. He was bringing the ark, that holy ark, to give it a position of reverence and prominence in keeping with the function that God had ordained for it. God had said the ark was the implement, the instrument by which he would show himself and reveal himself unto Israel. He would answer prayer at the ark. It was a very important little piece of furnishing. But it had been here, there, and yonder, and all over the place, and the Philistines had had it for a while, and it wasn't been given the right place. And David, having come to the throne, he says, let's put the ark in a proper place. And so he set out to do it that day, and it was a happy day. The only thing is, he went about it all wrong. He put it on a new cart, thinking that surely that would be the right thing to do. Put it on a new cart, but that's not how God said the ark should be transported. And as they're driving the ark on the cart to the place appointed where it was to be set up, there must have been a rough patch on the road, and the old cart shook a bit, and the ark was shaking on the cart, and a good man who was driving the cart, a man called Uzzah, he did something which would appear to us to be very proper and very good and very right. He put forth his hand and he touched the ark to steady it. God struck him dead because no one was to touch the ark. Only those appointed by God. The Levites, the priests, no one else. And that day, which up until then was a day of jubilation and rejoicing and singing, suddenly came to a very sad, tragic end. And you know what it says? This is verse 7 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And therefore he died by the ark of God, and David was displeased. You see that? Something like Jonah, wasn't it? He was very unhappy with what God had just done. And I can imagine David saying, what did you do that for, Lord? Surely you were wrong in doing that, Lord. Killing this man, Uzzah, a good man. He didn't see things as God saw them. And so he was angry with God. And Jonah didn't see things as God saw them. And he was angry with God. He was very displeased with God. Very displeased. Boys and girls, we can be wrong, very wrong, and blame God for things not being as we would like them to be. Don't ever judge God. Don't ever judge God. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? There is no example of God doing right, but man thinking he was doing wrong than Calvary. The disciples had the very mention of the Saviour going to Jerusalem and there being arrested and crucified. And angered, what are you talking about? We can't have this happen. And then finally when the Saviour's word came through and he did go to Jerusalem and he was arrested and he was crucified, they just didn't understand it. What does all this mean? That's why in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke you have the two on the road to Emmaus. And they're just broken and in misery. And the Lord Jesus came beside them and they didn't recognize him. And he says, why are you so sad? And they explained, the one they had hoped was the Messiah. The one they had hoped was the King of Israel. He was crucified. And the Lord Jesus said, oh fools, and slow to believe the prophet. What happened was in accordance with all God had ever said. It should have come as no surprise. They should have been aware of these things. We can get it wrong, boys and girls. And when we get it wrong, then we go even further and we blame God for what happened. We blame God. That happens every day. You hear people all the time when there's an event in the world. Why did God allow this to happen? God's blame. That's what happened with poor old Jonah. Oh, boys and girls, when things happen in a fashion that you don't understand, don't blame God. Wait, wait, wait. And you will soon see that God has done the thing right, and you had got it wrong. Now, time's gone, so I'll just quickly mention two other things. Jonah, in these three verses that we have read, explains that his thinking was what caused him to run away as recorded in chapter 1. Do you remember what it said? Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. He ran away. Why did he run away? Because the attitude that he's displaying in these first three verses of chapter 4 is what was in his heart then. What he saw God doing in Nineveh, he had anticipated God doing when God told them, go to Nineveh and warn them. He said, oh, I know what'll happen. I know God will have mercy on them and that city will be spared. And I don't want that city spared. I want those Ninevites killed and destroyed. So he ran away. He thought God had got it wrong. That was the motive for his running away. Oh, the history of God's people is one dotted with many examples of people saying, no, I'll not do it, Lord. I'll not do what you have commanded me to do because you're wrong. You've got it wrong. His despair was so deep that he wished to die. Isn't that awful? He wanted to die. He preferred dying than seeing God's will being carried out. You couldn't be more out of step with God than that. But in saying that and thinking that and wishing that, Jonah was amongst good company, if I might put it like that, because Elijah had done the same. Elijah had said, let me die. I want to die. I can't live with the way things have turned out. Jeremiah said the same. I can't handle this the way you're working things out, Lord. I can't cope with it. Let me die. Oh, how wrong it is to think like that. God's ways are best. God's ways are best. And we should cling to that. We should cling to that. One day we will understand. When we get to heaven, boys and girls, when we get to heaven, I've often thought about that. I think we'll clap our foreheads and say, now I understand. Now I see why God did all those things. And how right he was. How kind he was. How merciful he was. I thought he was all wrong and how shameful was my attitude. But how kind was God. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless thy word to the boys and girls. May they learn from this record of Jonah's folly and error. And O God, may we watch out for the potholes that we might not fall into the same error. Bless the school and all the school family for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.